The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Is WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul, FM 107.5, K298CO, Minneapolis, fueled by Lucky's Station.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. An attorney for President Donald Trump stressed Sunday that the president's legal team would contest any effort to force the president to testify in front of a grand jury during the special counsel's Russia probe, but downplayed the idea that Mr. Trump could pardon himself. President Trump's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, says the president would like to speak to the special counsel, and he's trying to keep an open mind on the issue.
And I have to just be honest, I mean, with leaning toward not. But look, if they can convince us that it would be brief, it would be to the point, there are 5 or 6 points they have to clarify, and with that, we can get this over, this long nightmare for the American public over.
But Giuliani says that the special counsel does not have a special case for compelling the president to speak to testify. Landmark studies found that many women with the most common form of early-stage breast cancer can safely forego chemotherapy. This is SRN News.
Mike Gallagher believes there's lots of layers to the canceling of Roseanne.
I'm angry at her
for the stupidity of this tweet.
I'm angry
but not surprised
at the pathetic attempt to link a Roseanne tweet to President Trump. It shouldn't be unexpected. They jumped on that bandwagon over at CNN. In a heartbeat.
The Mike Gallagher Show, weekdays at 8 on AM 1280, The Patriot, Intelligent Radio.
You're listening to AM 1280, The Patriot, Intelligent Radio. Coming up next is the Northern Alliance Radio Network with Mitch Berg this time, filling in for Brad Carlson right here on AM 1280, The Patriot, so don't go anywhere. First, we'll give you a quick weather update. A high of 72 degrees, cloudy skies for today. A high of 84 and sunny on Monday. And then a high of 84 degrees and sunny skies on Tuesday. Stay tuned for the NARM with Mitch Berg right here on AM 1280, The Patriot.
This is the Northern Alliance Radio Network, the longest-running conservative talk show in the Twin Cities. Political analysis of the good, the bad, and the outright crazy. Now, here's your headline act, Mitch Berg.
Welcome back, Twin Cities and world. It's the Northern Alliance Radio Network, making talk radio great again. My name is Mitch Berg. I'm not Brad Carlson. Brad is out today. Actually, Brad switched with me because I was in Duluth yesterday at the Republican State Convention. And I'll tell you all about that, really, what the subject is there, really, when it comes to political talk in Minnesota this week and certainly this weekend. That has been the story of the week. In fact, it is an ongoing story because the DFL convention is still going on in Rochester right now. When they do a convention, I don't know about do it right, but they certainly do it long. I mean, their local Senate district, House district conventions take 12 hours at a sitting. You have to figure the state convention could well be going on until the wee hours here. We'll see. They're currently still working on their state auditor endorsements, which is stuff that the Republicans finished yesterday morning by 10, 11 o'clock, I think. Anyway, it was a busy couple of days, although not much unexpected happened. Really, the interesting part was watching the results coming in from Rochester in the DFL convention. We watched them with great interest in the press pit. I attended both as an alternate in my Senate district, as well as a member of the press in the press pit, as I usually do. Because what the heck, AM 1280 The Patriot is the press and the place to go, really, if you want news about the Republican Party, Republican issues, conservatism in Minnesota. This is where it actually happens. Still big news coming out of the DFL convention. In fact, we'll be reporting on that as soon as we get the official confirmation here. We've got advance word of some big news coming out of Rochester yet today. Where, by the way, I'll just give you the quick update. For those of you who weren't paying attention, and I suspect many of you were, but the vast majority of people don't and don't know why it matters anyway. The DFL yesterday, having been expected to endorse Tim Walz, the 1st District Congressman, for governor, did not. They endorsed Aaron Murphy, an exceedingly progressive DFLer from Highland Park, the Tony part of St. Paul. And more news on that campaign is coming up. She beats back Rebecca Otto and Tim Walz, of course, and in a race that is going to get more interesting as we go here. I'll come back to the DFL stuff in a bit here because we're waiting on some big news. And frankly, the machinations on the DFL side could actually redound to the GOP's advantage if the party is smart. And there might be some good news there. We'll see. I went to the convention. I made it up there Friday early evening around dinner time. I got out of work a little later than I wanted to, went up, checked into my hotel, walked over to the convention center, and things were underway. And the first bit of news was not great. They were testing electronic balloting. Now, if you ever have been to a Republican Party convention, you know that especially in some of the more bitterly contested conventions, like the gubernatorial race 4 years ago, the Senate races 4 years ago, those conventions get to be real knockdown, drag out Donnybrooks, where every round of balloting involves between 45 and early on, sometimes 60 minutes of counting ballots, because they're paper ballots and they have to be counted by hand. And many is the Republican who sat out on the floor for hour after hour after hour and wish there was a way to vote electronically somehow. Well, they rolled it out this year. They brought electronic clickers, basically little lanyards you hung around your neck when you had your voter card to be doled out by your district chair people, which I was. And basically, when a vote would come up, you would click on the clicker for the options that you wanted to select, and off to the races you went. You'd be basically done with voting in seconds. The count would be basically tallied up in real time up on the board. Well, it never happened, never worked out. Out of 1,600 delegates present on Friday night when they did the test run, for some reason, only 1,200 votes came up. And since we're not doing ranked choice voting, we still have to actually make it work. Have to count everyone's ballot. So this is they had to go to Plan B real quickly, to the audible disappointment of much of the crowd and the press pit, quite frankly, because getting votes quickly would sure be nice. And they tried. I'll give it to the staff at the convention. They tried really hard to make it work. They stayed up all night trying to test the system, and they came out bright and early in the morning when we readjourned, when we reconvened, I should say, Saturday morning, saying, ain't going to happen. We're going to be doing paper ballots. And fortunately, they were able to react on the fly and get the job done and do it all on paper. So we did it the old-fashioned way. That was the big surprise. Well, actually, there were a few big surprises. Not many. I mean, going into the convention, I think I, and probably most of you who are paying attention, figured there would be not a lot of surprises. For starters, because three of the big races, the constitutional office races, there was no opposition whatsoever. The Secretary of State, Attorney General, and State Auditor races had no opposition. John Howe ran for State Senate unopposed, Secretary of State unopposed. Pam Myra, of course, was running a good campaign for state auditor. She ran unopposed. And, of course, Doug Wardlow, longtime friend of this broadcast and someone whose fundraiser I spoke at about a week and a half ago here in the 2nd District, he ran unopposed. So they were all elected by voice acclamation. No ballots were counted. That was kind of nice. got done with three races in, I think, under a half an hour. So that's the way you want to do it. There were no big surprises for the three big races, at least that in terms of the overall headlines. I think it's safe to say everyone expected Jeff Johnson to win, although there were some near surprises there. We'll come back to that because the governor's race took a little longer. Now, the Senate races, again, I don't think a lot of people were saying that there was much chance that anyone was going to upset Karen Housley. Or Jim Neuberger running for his race. One of the, and both of them were running for different Senate seats. Obviously, Jim Neuberger is running against Amy Klobuchar, and Karen Housley is running for Al Franken's old seat, which currently being held by former governor, or at least former de facto governor, Tina Flint Smith, former abortion mill boss. So the and there was both of them had opposition for the endorsement. Jim Neuberger was opposed by a fellow named Rob Barnheiser, who I've talked with before. He's a good guy, very engaging fella, has actually spent his time working in North Minneapolis. He's not unknown to the community. That led to one of the bigger surprises of the evening. One of his, if you've never been to a convention, I've been to a number of them, and whenever someone is placed into nomination for consideration to run for endorsement, someone gives a nomination speech. And one of Rob Barnheiser's nominating speakers was a fella named Jamar Nelson. Now, some of you may know him. He is a talk show host on the Lesser Talk Station, the also-ran talk station. He runs a show where he is the Black Democrat. And yet here he was at the Republican convention speaking to nominate Rob Barnheiser, who he said he's the only, the first time in his life he's ever been induced to cross the aisle to vote for a Republican, should Rob Barnheiser have won the nomination. And that was struck a real chord among an awful lot of people. For starters, there were people who listened to talk radio, who had heard Jamar's show, and they thought, yeah, right, what are you doing over here? And he warmed the crowd up pretty good. Now, Jamar and I know each other. We've sparred a bit on social media. He called the broadcast once, and I roughed him up verbally a little bit and then disposed of him, as we frequently do with callers after we've had our fun. But he's a good guy. I mean, it's business, nothing personal, as Michael Corleone said. And it was great to actually meet him in person, except on social media. It's a much better way to actually meet people. Let's be honest. Our society would be a whole lot better if more people actually met each other. And that's something I do encourage people to do when they can. And of course, there's a lot of people who vociferously argue against that. But Jamar gave an excellent talk, gave an excellent speech nominating Rob Barnheiser, who went on to give a speech that, let's just say, as someone who works in the speaking business, whose father was a speech teacher, who's been carrying on, for lack of a better term, the family business, speaking to people for either a living or an avocation, gave a speech that had a lot of opportunities for improvement. I told people, and I'll tell you now, if Rob Barnheiser had stopped after 5 minutes, he might have gotten 5 or 10% more votes in that race, because it started out pretty good. He had the crowd wrapped around his finger, I think, in a lot of ways. He had some good endorsement nomination speeches. He went on a little long, and I'll let you ask other people who were there exactly how it ended up. It's the only time I've ever heard people being heckled from the floor because he went off a script and didn't do it all that terribly, which is a shame. He's a good guy. He's an engaging guy. He's a guy with a good story to tell. He's a guy who I think has something to offer for politics. And frankly, I wish he'd run for the state house or the state senate or city council or something local and learn how, I mean, learn from scratch, from the ground up, how politics is actually done. Because I think he's got a good guy with a good story to tell. But as a matter of fact, he wound up getting out of there with about 16% of the vote. And, Jim Neuberger, who's a many-time guest on this broadcast, coasted to a fairly easy win with over 80% of the vote. So, Rob Barnheiser, we'll work on presentation, and perhaps I hope you're not too bruised up to think about running for something at a local level, because I think you got what it takes to do that, and then work your way up to the U.S. Senate. Because I think you actually have a lot to offer if you're out there. And I'd love to talk with you about that in case your people want to call my people. The other Senate race, of course, involved Karen Housley. And that was a little more contested race. There was a fellow named Forrest Hyatt, who I honestly had never heard of before, gave a very evangelical-friendly speech. He was obviously someone who ran as a Trump supporter, as did the other candidate, a fellow named Bob Anderson, who's well known to the audience of this broadcast and of this station. He's been to a number of station events before, including our last one, Overtime with Hewitt and Gallagher. And Karen Housley coasted to a relatively easy win, and frankly, I think there were a couple of pleasant surprises in that race. I'll come back and talk about that in just a moment here as I work my way up to, quite frankly, the most interesting part of the weekend, the results from the Democratic convention, which are still leaking into us here at AM 1280 The Patriot. Much more on that to come. 651-289-4488, the number to call should you care to join us, and I beseech you to do exactly that. Mitch Bergen for Brad Carlson. Go nowhere.
Most Minnesotans are dissatisfied with their income and retirement savings and are looking for help. Earn a second income without a second boss. Learn to make money trading at Online Trading Academy, the world's leader in trader education. Use this income now and through retirement. Register today for a free investing class by dialing #250 on your cell phone and use the keyword OTA. Again, #250, keyword OTA.
Step into Chet's Shoes in Columbia Heights for work, hiking, hunting, footwear, and more.
Check out our expanded line of women's work boots and our selection of New Balance shoes.
Ready to ride this season?
Be sure to check out our Harley-Davidson motorcycle boots.
Don't forget, Chet's carries other essentials such as socks and inserts.
Let us help you find the right footwear and the right size.
Stop in to see us in Columbia Heights and visit us at chetsshoes.com.
Remember, if the shoe fits, you've been to Chet's.
So here's a great question. How much would you save if you joined MediShare for your healthcare program? The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. You might save more. Tammy left a major company and needed a new way ahead for her family. She'd heard about the savings with MediShare, but was wondering about the network of providers.
Once we started the program, I have not had to switch one doctor for myself or for my kids. So all the doctors that we were previously with were all in MediShare.
And she says the process has been fantastic.
I got off the phone and I was like, that's what it should be like. It was a pleasurable experience. An encouraging experience at that.
MediShare might be just the thing you're looking for your family, your budget. Use the savings for other things. Why not get your questions answered? Find out how much you can save. You can call right now. 844-41-BIBLE. That's 844-41-BIBLE. 844-41-BIBLE.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
It takes a lot of courage to face your own death, but I'm glad I finally did. See, I was putting off getting life insurance to protect my family, even though I knew it was important. Then my neighbor's husband died. I watched her struggle emotionally and financially. It really made me face reality. If my husband died, how would I pay the mortgage, the car payments, or keep up the life the kids and I had? I realized I needed to get us life insurance right away. So I called AIG Direct. In less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing my family has protection.
Call AIG Direct right now for a free no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-458-3263. That's 1-800-458-3263. 1-800-458-3263.
AM 1280, The Patriot. Northern Alliance Radio Network. 651-289-4488. Join us, won't you please?
You can do it every night.
Hey, don't forget, we've got an interesting sounding event coming up. It's just 3 weeks from this past Friday, 2 weeks from this coming Friday. An evening with C.S. Lewis coming up Friday, June 22nd at Calvary Lutheran Church in Golden Valley. It's brought to you by AM 980, The Mission, our sister station upstairs here. This could be a lot of fun. The performance starts at 7 o'clock, doors at 6:30. Brought to you by AM 980, The Mission, and The Fish, Twin Cities, our online Christian music station. Tickets range from $15 to $49. You can go to am9080themission.com. am980themission.com/CS Lewis, or just go to am980themission.com, and the ad will pop up at some point. Click on it, buy your tickets. I might have to find a way to attend that. I think I might be free that night. I'll have to see if I can squeeze that in. That actually does sound fascinating. Evening with C.S. Lewis. Go to am980themission.com/CS Lewis for details. That's going to be a great performance. I've heard great things about that particular performance, so I urge you to give it a look. We'll talk more about that as we go here. 651-289-4488. Talking this half hour, as I'm in for Brad Carlson, about the Republican convention yesterday, but we will actually wind up talking about the DFL convention after that, because much as I love the GOP convention and much as I am a member of the GOP, the DFL convention was more interesting. But let's go to the phones somewhere in the South Metro. Aaron, welcome to the Northern Alliance Radio Network.
Hi, how are you?
Every day on the air is better than the best day off the air. So I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing today, Aaron?
Really, really great. I was actually up at the convention, and I just had two quick comments, and then I'll let you talk. But first off, the convention actually, like you said, was not all that exciting, right? Most things were kind of predetermined before we got there. But I wanted to make a comment about the production that was the Karen Housley endorsement, Karen Housley endorsement. You know, kudos to her team for doing a really fantastic job creating excitement
yep.
around her candidacy and making a full production out of it. I think a lot of candidates went in thinking it was ho-hum, especially the ones like in the gubernatorial race that thought they were going to walk in and just kind of get it. She knew she was going to get it, but she still put on a nice show. And I thought that was really important to create excitement and enthusiasm around her campaign. And she probably picked up a few volunteers because of it.
I agree. That was a very well done performance. And that kind of tells you something about that goes into some of the stuff about how people present themselves verbally, as well as the overall production that I want to talk about in just a moment here. But yeah, they did a great job of playing to the crowd. And it's almost like there's someone in the family who does a lot of work dealing with major spectacle events.
I think there might be somebody who knows a little something, but really, I mean, it was a team effort, and the people behind Karen to make that happen, her campaign team, really have to be given a lot of credit for just the overall perception, the production of it all. I mean, really, they took it seriously and made sure it counted, and I thought that was great.
And by the way, one other thing I thought was great, not to interrupt you, I'll let you get to your second point here, but the other thing was, having worked in sports radio in the past, I was pleasantly surprised that Phil Housley doesn't sound like most hockey coaches when he talks on a microphone. I think, unlike most professional hockey coaches, he'll actually be a benefit out on the campaign trail, other than just for being the second greatest player ever to come out of Minnesota hockey. Okay, your second point.
My second point was that, you know, there seems to be a lot of buzz around the overwhelming support of Jeff Johnson, and I just have to caution everybody and say, you know, less than 1,000 people voted for him in that second ballot, and it went to a third ballot. He did more to win the endorsement 4 years ago when he had it kind of locked up than I think he did this time around. And I'm worried about the, you know, the enthusiasm around him. And I don't know. I just think we need to be real careful. If you really look at it, he didn't even get 60% after that third vote, which is, you know, the rumor, right? And when the other two candidates dropped out. And I worry. I mean, that was the voting strength was low. You know, we only had, 1774 for the second balloting.
Right.
And so less people than that, even for the third ballot. A lot of people had left or were not at their seats.
Right.
So when you look at the overall support, everybody's saying, oh, 2,000 delegates or 2,200 delegates are behind Jeff Johnson. I don't think that's the case. It might be closer to 1,000 or less. And so if that's the case, then he wasn't even able to get the most active people engaged and excited about his campaign, even by the third ballot.
The other hand, two of the things that people said were waiting in the wings potentially didn't happen. Number one, the Tim Pawlenty had a lot of zombie delegates in there who were going to try and play some shenanigans. There was no evidence, very little evidence. I mean, that would be the evidence. That would be why perhaps 7% voted no endorsement at the beginning.
And also why, you might say, why a lot of people didn't end up going to convention.
Right, exactly.
I mean, we were supposed to have a voting strength of, what, 2,200, I think is what they said?
Yep.
And we didn't have that. So there were a lot of people who didn't show up. So just my only point is to say, you know, the grassroots activists that everybody likes to say are so on board with the endorsed candidate. I would caution to say maybe that's not the case, and Jeff has some work to do to get them on his side.
Of course he does, and that's going to be a job for, excuse me, obviously a job for. On the other hand, the other thing that didn't happen, the one thing I've been hearing from a lot of people who I grant some considerable credibility on these matters is the rumor before, as we were heading up towards the gubernatorial race, was if Jeff didn't put it away on the first or second ballot, the Giuliani Stevens organization was going to make a big surge and seriously either challenge or take it to no endorsement. And that didn't happen. And by the way, I was very impressed with the organization and the excitement that Giuliani Stevens seemed to muster.
She did a phenomenal job.
She really did. Yeah, the optics were amazing. Although, first ballot, 26%. Second ballot, I think she lost maybe 10, 15 votes. So, I mean, she held them. She had her people pretty well stuck to their guns. But it was a quarter of the – it was the quarter of a small convention. And I hope she stays in. I mean, obviously, she's doing a good job. She certainly has in Woodbury. I hope her political career continues elsewhere. If she wants to run against Betty McCollum, I'm all on board with her.
Sure, absolutely. I think she was a good candidate. I think she, coming in late, didn't have, you know, I've been a long time critic of our system where it takes so long. You have to be on slates very early on back in February in order to get yourself in the delegate pool by the time May rolls around. And then, you know, we've got a primary in August, which I think just drags out our fighting each other when we should be running statewide campaigns. But for her to come in as late as she did and work as hard as she did and put on a showing like that, I think is also a testament to her team. They did a great job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I think she did. It made the convention interesting, certainly, as much as at least in a positive sense. Both of those races certainly were good. Absolutely. Aaron, thank you very much for your call. Thanks for tuning in. 651-289-4488, the number to call. As Aaron mentioned, the Housley race certainly was that was the production number of Friday night. Karen Housley put on an excellent show. And as I mentioned, her husband, Phil, who, let's be honest, is the celebrity on the platform with Karen Housley. I mean, if you follow any hockey at all, heck, I don't follow hockey, especially because it gets in the way of baseball half the time. And I knew Phil Housley is one of the great hockey players to come from Minnesota. He's been called the second best after Phil Broughton. I wouldn't be the one to criticize it either way. But currently the coach of the Buffalo Sabres, by the way, but still from the 4th Congressional District, along with State Senator Karen Housley, his wife. And she, in fact, did a great job. And I think, honestly, I think I'm feeling very optimistic about this race. In fact, there's a couple of races I'm feeling more optimistic than normal about. Now, bear in mind, the GOP hasn't won a statewide race. Governor, Senate, other than Tim Pawlenty, actually counting Tim Pawlenty, we have not won a statewide race since Tim Pawlenty won the 2006 election. Secretary of State, State Auditor, Attorney General, and both of the U.S. Senate candidates. We have not won a single one of them. Arguably, we should have won the 2008 Senate race. We got legally maneuvered out of it by an excellent DFL legal machine and most likely a whole lot of fraudulent ballots. But water under the bridge, can't redo history. The closest we'll come to redoing that history, we got with Al Franken being ushered from office in disgrace, which isn't much of a consolation since Tina Flint Smith, former de facto governor, is sitting in that seat today. I am feeling good about Karen Housley's chances in this race. We'll talk about Jim Neuberger in a bit here. But Karen Housley, I think she has just the right combination of a great issue. I mean, she's really wrapped herself around the elder abuse issue. And that is a third rail out there that I think is ripe to be, I'm going to mix my metaphors here, so let me change metaphors real quick. I think it's a great issue to be hammering on here right now, and certainly the DFL owns that issue among many other issues for which they need to be held culpable. But the DFL convention that happened, by the way, so best of luck to Karen Housley and to Jim Neuberger, who I think stands a decent chance of running against Amy Klobuchar, although, again, dealing with an incumbent is going to be harder. We will be doing our best, certainly, and hopefully all of you in the audience will be doing your best as well. As Aaron pointed out, the gubernatorial race was not a huge surprise. Frankly, I was surprised at how easily Jeff Johnson got the victory. I thought everyone thought that race was going to go till 2 in the morning. So the fact that we were out of there by 4-ish in the afternoon is going to be going to help an awful lot. So when we come back, the interesting part of yesterday and today, the DFL convention. Oh, yeah. Go nowhere. Northern Alliance Radio Network, AM 1280, The Patriot.
Don't miss Sandvold Financial Group's Money Talks radio show, here every Sunday morning at 9. Sandvold Financial Group is independent of Questar Capital Corporation, member FINRA, SIPC, and Questar Asset Management.
The world is a more dangerous place now than ever before. So, who do you trust for security at your business or for your next event? Here at AM 1280, The Patriot, we trust Midwest Protection Agency. Their staff is highly trained, incredibly professional, and provides services such as executive protection and transportation, corporate security, and workplace violence security services. To contact Midwest Protection, visit them online at mwprotection.net. That's mwprotection.net.
Is your home ready for the summer? Do you have ugly green and black stains on your home? Spray and forget. The original no-rinse exterior cleaner eliminates these ugly stains caused by mold, mildew, and algae. Spray and forget brilliantly cleans roofs, decks, siding, fencing, walkways, driveways, outdoor furniture, and more. Remove stains up to 50% faster than competing no-rinse cleaners. Make your home and outdoor living spaces brilliant again. Look for the yellow label at participating Ace, Home Depot, True Value, and Do It Best stores.
AM 1280, The Patriot, and iHeartRadio. They go together like the U.S. and Liberty. Listen at iHeart.com or with the free iHeartRadio mobile app.
I'm Jan Markell, helping you understand the times.
A very interesting article. Sanhedrin asked Putin and Trump to build the third temple in Jerusalem.
Recently, Breaking Israel News reported that President Donald Trump will pave the way for the third temple. It is likely that President Trump knows nothing about this important role of helping to build what Christians call the Tribulation Temple. Who builds the temple is not the urgent issue. What is the issue is how late it is getting. The church will be gone and the Antichrist will allow temple worship. Halfway through the tribulation, he turns on the Jews and becomes their enemy. And isn't it interesting that major media is talking about this tribulation temple? The hour is late. Are you ready to meet the king? For more information, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org, for our complete radio program, also heard each weekend on this station.
It's long, over 1,000 chapters, over 30,000 verses. No wonder so many of us have never read it cover to cover. Want to do it? Want to read the entire Bible? Start today at BibleStudyTools.com. BibleStudyTools.com includes Bible in a Year, an interactive plan for reading, learning, and understanding the Bible. Deepen your faith and impact your walk with God, one day at a time. Bible in a Year, just one of the new interactive Bible study tools at BibleStudyTools.com.
AM 1280, The Patriot. Did I mention I was at the Republican convention? I did. Did I mention that I was following along with the Minnesota DFL convention yesterday? And today? And at this rate, maybe tomorrow? I'm sure they've got to wrap up. But they've been in Rochester since Friday. And they're still going. And in fact, there's still announcements coming out. Let's start back from the beginning. The Minnesota DFL held their convention, same weekend as the Republicans, which meant that the Twin Cities media was spread rather thin across two different corners of eastern Minnesota. And it was a lot. It was as predictable as it is probably fair to say that the Republican convention was, because there were no upsets. There were nothing even close to an upset. The Giuliani Stevens was the closest we came to an upset, and that was 26% at peak. Although it was, again, a wonderful, I mean, it was a, they fought a spirited battle, and it was surely made things interesting yesterday. But most of us who could, and I was sitting in the press pit much of the day, most of us, many of us who could, were busy watching the results coming up from Rochester at the DFL convention. And boy, there were certainly results. We knew things were sliding off the rails a little bit when early afternoon we got the word that in the first round of balloting for the Attorney General office, an office that Lori Swanson has held for 12 years, an office that Lori Swanson inherited from Mike Hatch, who served in it for 12 years, an office that the DFL has held uninterrupted for since 1971, I believe it is, 47 years of absolute unbroken control. The DFL voted 52% for the incumbent in the first ballot. 52, actually more like 51 to 49, I think. Very, very close in the first round. Now, this is almost unthinkable when you have someone who is like Lori Swanson, the current sitting attorney general for the state of Minnesota. Lori Swanson is one of the most solid electoral candidates you can find. In fact, solid in a lot of ways because she is, while she's extremely liberal on some issues, I mean, she's turned the attorney general's office into a more of a consumer consumer protection shakedown racket in many ways. I mean, in carrying on Mike Hatch's legacy in that sense. She's actually one of the best attorneys general in the United States on Second Amendment issues. When I say best, I mean most pro-Second Amendment. That surprises a lot of people because she is completely irredeemable on just about every other possible issue, including getting the attorney general's office out of supporting local prosecutors and county prosecutors on difficult cases that are outside the means of smaller rural districts, and getting them out of the criminal justice game almost entirely and turning them into basically a fine generation machine, fine as in payments, not excellence. But she's excellent on the Second Amendment, which turned out to be her undoing yesterday. The first round of balloting had her winning 52-48, 52-47. It was a very close race. And rumor had it that she lost a bunch of votes on the second round to her challenger, a fellow named Matthew Pelikan with a K, P-E-L-I-K-A-N. And before the second, as I recall, before the second round of ballots was announced, Swanson withdrew and turned the endorsement over to Mr. Pelikan, who is, by all accounts, an extremist, radical, progressive, someone who is far enough to the left that Hugo Chavez called back from the great beyond and told him to dial back the rhetoric, bucko. You're making us all look bad. Matt Pelikan is far out to the left. I mean, he was ushered to the stage with a parade of unicorns pulling him on a chariot made from lilacs. That's how far out to the left he is. Lori Swanson pulled out of the race. And Matt Pelikan was endorsed by acclamation. Now, an endorsement means nothing in the DFL. And in fact, it may or may not mean anything in the GOP, because obviously Tim Pawlenty is out there and is planning on taking Jeff Johnson to the primary to actually get the real nomination that matters in Minnesota. But that's a foregone conclusion. Now, in the DFL attorney general race. Now, for starters, if you are a local Second Amendment supporter, note this carefully. That race was about guns. It was about the Second Amendment. It was about the support of local shooters of both parties for Lori Swanson over the years. And the DFL base has basically drunk the anti-gun Kool-Aid to the point where they're going to need to go to the emergency room for overhydration, among whatever else is in that Kool-Aid. According to sources I have and who I had yesterday on the scene, it was about guns. It was about Lori Swanson being too friendly to gun owners. And Matt Pelican, who is a rabid anti-Second Amendment voice, made it absolutely clear where his sympathies lay on that issue. Now, had it gone to the primary, if it does go to the primary, it won't take long. Matt Pelican has raised $7,000 so far. Lori Swanson has $200,000 in the war chest, and she can certainly draw on much greater resources than that. She could bury Matt Pelican in the race if she goes to primary. And she will almost certainly go to the primary. But whether she does it for attorney general is very much an open question. Because, as you may recall, she was in the governor's race up until a while ago. She pulled out to after Tim Walz got the major mojo with the insiders and stayed with the attorney general race. But having been ushered out of the race by the anti-gun ninnies and shriekers and howler monkeys of the far, far, far left that now have made the DFL an absolutely irredeemably extreme party, that gave us a little bit of foreshadowing about the governor's race. And the big question now that Swanson's withdrawal from the Adrian endorsement race is not whether she's going to run in the primary, but for what office. Because given what happened a little later on, I'll come back to that in a moment here, she has as good of a chance of winning the primary for governor as anyone else does. We'll come back to that in a moment here, because that's the big question coming out of that convention. That's what's going to make this next 2 months really interesting in Minnesota politics. Let's go to Hopkins. Dan, welcome to the Northern Alliance Radio Network. You're on the air.
Hey, Mitch.
How you doing?
I love your show.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work. You're a trooper.
Appreciate it.
You will not relent. You will continue to fight for conservatives, and we're all very grateful for you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm leaning toward Jeff Johnson.
Okay.
Where do Jeff Johnson and Tim Pawlenty differ on conservative ideas? I think Pawlenty's kind of certainly far better, infinitely better than any Democrat.
Yeah.
But, he seems to be kind of the part of the swamp kind of politician in some ways.
Here's a big difference, and I think this is an important difference. Now, they both have backgrounds in the Minnesota House. Tim Pawlenty was the House Minority Leader for quite some time. I don't think he was ever Speaker, as I recall. But he was in the Minnesota House for quite some time, and people who come through the legislature tend to be dealers, pragmatists, people who thrive at negotiation. Or have to negotiate, because, of course, you're in a legislative body where, at best, you're a majority and dealing with a strong minority in a state like Minnesota. Even if he had been a majority leader, which I don't believe he ever was. In fact, I know he was never a majority leader. He was a minority leader, always dealing from a position of electoral weakness. He had to he cut his political teeth as someone who had to negotiate with someone who was always in control. So that's what he did. Now, Jeff Johnson was also never in the majority, but I think he makes more executive sounding noises in terms of policy. For example, Tim Pawlenty, conservatives will tell you, was way too easy when it came to compromising on big tax issues, on big spending issues, on big social issues like, say, ethanol and fuel. I think, by the way, that a lot of that criticism is mistaken, because I believe in the William F. Buckley rule that you always vote for the most conservative candidate who can win. And at that point in 2002, Tim Pawlenty, I believe, was the most conservative candidate who could win. Now, Jeff Johnson, in what ways is he more conservative? I think I take him at his word when he says he's much more of a tax hawk than Pawlenty was. I think that's probably the main issue here. I mean to look into this, quite frankly, because I've been asked that question before today. What are the substantive policy differences? I think that Jeff Johnson is certainly talking a tougher line on taxes, on omnibus bills, on some of these nickel and dime issues that add up to billions of extra dollars in the budget. But that's not a very satisfying answer, is it?
No. My concern, too, is that there's an intimidation level almost like a roaring lion seeking whom they may devour.
Right.
In regards to the media, you know, this idea that, oh, we got to appear to be more moderate. We have to appear to be more big government and more programs and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and more money to the schools, or else you'll never get elected in Minnesota, I think.
Yeah, no, Tim, it can be seen that way. Now, I've talked to Jeff Johnson many times, and by the way, thank you for your call, Dan. I've talked to Tim, I've talked to both of the candidates many times. I mean, Tim Pawlenty obviously was a regular, semi-regular on the show while he was a governor. Jeff Johnson was probably the first political statewide candidate we ever interviewed back in 2006, one of the first we interviewed, certainly when he was running for attorney general back in 2006. I believe that Jeff Johnson makes more conservative policy statements, but on the other hand, he's never been elected to statewide office. He is a current sitting Hennepin County commissioner, and he has a stellar record in his votes, by the way, on tax issues in Hennepin County, where he is a prohibitive minority, worse than he ever was in the Minnesota House in terms of having influence against a far left majority. So in terms of positions that he's taken, I think he's from a position of having not been in an executive branch office. I think he makes some of the sounds that I think a lot of conservatives like. I think Tim Pawlenty is shows his background as a state representative from an even purpler time in Minnesota, from a district that was purple at best when he was running for office. He's sort of similar to Eric Paulson in a lot of ways, and I think that might be a parallel here. Eric Paulson's running in a purple, hard purple district, but it shows in his policy statements. So more on the DFL convention when we come back. The music reminds me, that's the subject of this half hour. Go nowhere, Northern Alliance, AM 1280, The Patriot.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
The world of business and finance is constantly changing. How are you keeping up with all the information? Most likely, you're not. Checking websites, writing emails, making phone calls, checking more websites, and still not finding what you need to know. But it has to be out there somewhere. Well, it is. Business 1440 is your on-air guide through the fast-paced business landscape. What you want to know, when you want to know it. Up-to-the-minute business and financial news on Business 1440. Stream online at TwinCitiesBusinessRadio.com.
I was skeptical when I heard that your family bank could help me pay off my mortgage and get out of debt in under 10 years with my current income. My name is John. I'm a Patriot listener and a financial executive here in town. As such, I understand numbers. Using your family bank, my family will go from a $292,000 mortgage with 22 years remaining and $40,000 of additional debt to being totally out of debt, including the mortgage, in 9.8 years. We'll save $103,000. If you don't have a program which will get your family totally out of debt, including your mortgage, in less than 10 years just by redirecting your current cash flow, you need to talk with Daniel of Your Family Bank, who's right here in the Twin Cities.
Thanks, John. This is Daniel Altwig of Your Family Bank. My friend, there's no risk nor obligation to find out for yourself. Go to daniel.yourfamilybank.org, click on the Request tab in the upper right-hand corner, and leave your contact information. daniel.yourfamilybank.org. That's daniel.yourfamilybank.org.
Patriot listeners, save up to 25% on your business cleaning services. Are you thinking of changing your cleaning company? Are you looking for cleaner bathrooms, dust-free windowsills, and a higher level of quality control? Hi, I'm Jessica Carter, owner of CTC Professionals. We specialize in cleaning car dealerships and office buildings throughout the Twin Cities metro area. You'll get high-quality service when you choose us as your cleaning service provider. Call us at 651-404-0132 or visit our website at affordablebusinesscleaning.com. As a bonus to Patriot listeners, you'll get your first initial cleaning at no cost and up to 25% off your first full month of service. We will work hard to make your facility as clean as possible without breaking your budget. So call us today at 651-404-0132. That's 651-404-0132. Or visit our website at affordablebusinesscleaning.com.
It's A.C. Nelson's 99th year of saving you money on new RVs. A.C. Nelson has grown from its Omaha roots to multi-stores that ship worldwide. Come in for huge birthday bash discounts on all in-stock RVs. Put zero down on 2019 Coachmen Clipper Travel Trailers. Only $128 a month or just $10,988. A.C. Nelson's 99th birthday bash in Shakopee will clearly save you money.
AM 1280 The Patriot. Something that a lot of DFLers are saying down in Rochester right now. Thank you, animals. Mitch Berg in for Brad Carlson today. Last segment coming up here right now is the same as the first. Now, this is going to be a fun one. The tradition on the Northern Alliance is all the big news happens after we go off the air. So I'm gratified to say one big story has broken before the final theme plays. We'll come back to that in a moment here. Now, before we got our phone calls in this last segment, we were talking about the DFL convention, how Lori Swanson lost the endorsement and, according to some rumors, is pondering chucking the whole attorney general thing and running for governor because the field is wide open. By the way, the Tim Walz, the three-way field yesterday was Tim Walz, who was the odds-on favorite and relative moderate of the three. Rebecca Otto, the state auditor, who is just the most shrill, progressive Autobot I've ever in the state of Minnesota. One of the most unpleasant people in Minnesota politics, and a woman named Erin Murphy, who's a longtime state representative from Highland Park in St. Paul, and a woman who is again far enough left to see off the edge of a flat Earth if there were such a thing. They ran, and as predicted, among many other things, Tim Walz. Well, Tim Walz was predicted to walk away with it, but Erin Murphy was heard to be picking up strength over the course of this last 2 weeks here. And it all made perfect sense. Oh, by the way, Rebecca Otto lasted one ballot and she bailed. Pfft, who cares? Good riddance. And by the way, I'm sure she's going to turn around and refile for state audit because filings are due by 5 o'clock on Friday. And so it's entirely likely you're going to see Lori Swanson filing for governor tomorrow or Friday, and then Rebecca Otto turning around and trying to keep her job as state auditor. It'd be nice to see Pam Myra escort her out of that office this coming January. But the gun issue, again, was perhaps the deciding issue in the attorney general race. And it played an outsized role in the surprising denouement of the governor's race on the DFL side. They went, I think, 6 ballots, and eventually Tim Walz was not going anywhere, actually started to fall behind. He led on the first couple of ballots, but Erin Murphy was moving ahead. And towards the end, around middle afternoon tomorrow, just before the governor's endorsement came down for the in the Republican Party, Walz and Rebecca Otto went on the floor and tried to talk delegates into voting no endorsement, which would mean none of the candidates would be running against the DFL's endorsement, which means they're all eligible. No one would have a leg up in terms of information and funding from the state party. Well, apparently the delegates decided they didn't drive all the way from the metro to Rochester. Let's be honest, that's where they were all from, to do nothing. So they endorsed Erin Murphy, a woman who's far enough to the left to basically not play to anyone outside of the 494-694 circle. And it's all going to go to the primary. Tim Walz is going to go to the primary, as will I happen to believe. Well, actually, there's as many as 6 different names floating around out there. People are talking about Steve Simon throwing his hat into the ring tomorrow for governor on the DFL side. Of course, Lori Swanson's out there. There's rumors that Tom Bach is going to make a move here as well. So we might have a 5 or 6-way primary going for governor at this rate. And it just got more interesting. And in fact, I think if you're a Republican, it got much more palatable today, because when you are an extreme leftist like Erin Murphy, you
you would think if you want to get a single vote anywhere outside the 494, 694 circle, you're going to find someone from greater Minnesota, perhaps someone a little more moderate, someone to, especially when you've been running as an anti-gun zealot, as she has, someone who's going to make some of the outstate and Iron Range DFLers a little less hinky about pulling the ballot for someone who does literally want to come and take your guns. For example, I mean, Tim Walz, who got lost the endorsement in large part because he used to have an A rating from the NRA, but has repudiated that and run hard to the left, added one of the farthest left women in the Minnesota legislature, Peggy Flanagan, someone who's actually farther out than Aaron Murphy in terms of votes, to his ticket to try and play to the progressives unsuccessfully, or perhaps not successfully enough. But then the news came out just now. During this last break, it became official from the morning take, Blois Olson's morning take, who's quite well connected with the DFL. It's confirmed now. Aaron Murphy has added Erin May Quaid as her lieutenant governor running mate. Now, Erin May Quaid is someone I've gone around and around with on this broadcast for years now, going back to her time as a producer for The Uptake. The woman's never held, to the best of my knowledge, never held a significant private sector job. She's one, by accident, I firmly believe, a House seat in Apple Valley last cycle. As Winston Churchill once said about Clement Attlee, there truly is no there there. I mean, if the woman couldn't snark, she might as well be mute. And by the way, she is one of the standard bearers of the gun grabber community. In fact, her wife is an organizer for Moms Want Action, or Everytown. One, they're all the same. Doesn't matter. She's a Bloomberg stooge. And she is the significant other of Representative Erin May Quaid. Now, that's going to open up that Apple Valley seat. So if you're a Republican in Apple Valley, you got the mulligan you've been praying for. Don't waste it. Get someone into the Secretary of State tomorrow and run for that seat, because there's no way in Richfield that you could possibly lose this seat. Get in there. Do it. If I could move to Apple Valley and get residency in time, I would do it myself. Anyway, Aaron Murphy and Erin May Quaid, two far-left metro women, two gun grabbers, two single-payer healthcare people. Oh, bring on the primaries. Bring on the general election. By the way, if you're progressive, Murphy and Quaid are the only intellectually acceptable alternatives. Don't blow this. Make sure you get them through the primary in one piece, please, dear God. Back next Saturday, Northern Alliance. God bless you all. God bless America.
So here's a great question. How much would you save if you joined MediShare for your healthcare program? The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. You might save more. Tammy left a major company and needed a new way ahead for her family. She'd heard about the savings with MediShare, but was wondering about the network of providers.
Once we started the program, I have not had to switch one doctor for myself or for my kids. So all the doctors that we were previously with were all in MediShare.
And she says the process has been fantastic.
I got off the phone and I was like, that's what it should be like. It was a pleasurable experience. An encouraging experience at that.
MediShare might be just the thing you're looking for your family, your budget. Use the savings for other things. Why not get your questions answered? Find out how much you can save. You can call right now. 844-41-BIBLE. That's 844-41-BIBLE. 844-41-BIBLE.
The Army National Guard is offering up to a $20,000 enlistment bonus and other tuition benefits to qualified candidates, including new recruits and those with prior military service. Already received your education or are currently in school, you may be eligible for up to $50,000 in student loan repayment. Get the education you need to land the career you've always wanted. Learn more about the many benefits that come with serving part-time in the Army National Guard. Visit NationalGuard.com today. Sponsored by the Minnesota National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota State Broadcasters Association and this station.
TwinCitiesTuitions.com has been helping families for over 7 years get into the school of their dreams. We have placed over 90 kids into private education, including Stacy's son.
I have to say that this was an answer to prayer. This program made it possible for my son to transition into ninth grade into a wonderful school. Dealing with the station, particularly Alyssa, has been such a blessing.
Education is one of the most important decisions that you can make as a parent.
The difference that I've seen in my son in a Christian education is a confidence that can only come from Jesus Christ. He stands firm in the truth. He knows what he believes, and he's going to know that Jesus is the answer.
Don't pay more than you need to for your child's first year of private school. Call me, Alyssa Brecken, at 651-289-4406 or visit our website at TwinCitiesTuitions.com.
The world of business and finance is constantly changing. How are you keeping up with all the information? Most likely, you're not. Checking websites, writing emails, making phone calls, checking more websites, and still not finding what you need to know. But it has to be out there somewhere. Well, it is. Business 1440 is your on-air guide through the fast-paced business landscape. What you want to know, when you want to know it. Up-to-the-minute business and financial news on Business 1440. Stream online at TwinCitiesBusinessRadio.com.
AM 1280, The Patriot is...
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.